Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. Welcome to our online service. If this is the first time here, we want to welcome you. We want to invite you to fill in our online connect card so that we can connect with you. You can get to know us a little bit more about our small group ministries or our children program or our youth program. Today, we are in a sermon series called Raising Overcomers. And as we've shared with you last week, this sermon series is framed around parenting. But it's also not just for parents, because in this sermon series, we are really talking about overcoming challenges, overcoming, you know, difficult emotions, overcoming struggles. And this is something that not only children or parents go through, but really, in reality, everybody goes through. And so our prayer is that even if you're a parent or not a parent yet, you can encounter God in His words, and you will find some of His teachings to be practical, perhaps, or maybe helpful, or maybe even insightful, and to help you really go through and overcome some of the challenges that you are facing. On a similar note, today is a communion, so we invite you to prepare some bread and wine as we begin our service very shortly. In the past few weeks, our young adults ICOS, the ICOS that I'm part of, we have been doing this exercise where every single week, we will look at some news articles, and each member will share a few articles to the group. And the purpose of this is really to heighten our awareness and maybe even develop some care or compassion for the things that's going on in the world. Because we realize that we are in a very fortunate and blessed place, but a lot of people around the world is going through very struggling times. And I'm not sure whether you are a frequent, you know, listener or reader of the news, but when I saw some of those articles, my heart was kind of heavy. Some of those articles include a couple of shootings, and there's a lot of shootings that's going on. There was a shooting just a few weeks ago in Toronto, where supposedly, I think, 3 children got harmed or injured. There was a shooting in New York City, where 5 people got injured and 2 got killed. There was also some shooting involved in the Juneteenth protests in the States. And that's, when you compare that to maybe some of the things that's going on in the Middle East, the shooting is a little bit maybe minuscule compared to that, because, you know, in the Middle East, Gaza and Israel, they're still in conflict. There had been a ceasefire, but the ceasefire quickly broke. And when you add on top of that, there's still those residential school news, and there's still racism news and hatred news that's just brewing underneath. And of course, there's still COVID-19 that's going on. You know, Canada is very blessed. We're very fortunate to have so many vaccines getting into our arms, but, you know, maybe like half of the world is not at that place yet. A lot of those less developed countries, they're still begging and asking for vaccines and to help solve their health crisis. And so I'm not sure about you, but when I listen to those news and when I see what's going on in the world, my heart is kind of heavy. It's kind of heavy. And it's not especially helpful when you read the Bible and sometimes you hear those praise songs and you worship. The praise and worship song seems to be painting a completely different picture. Let me read for you an example. I'm going to read for you a passage from Isaiah 9. This is what God reveals Jesus to be. "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given." That is Jesus. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." The ruling, the governing shall be upon Jesus' shoulders, not those authorities, not those tyrants in the world. "And Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He is a wise counselor. He knows just the best solution, the best way to solve all these issues. He is a wise counselor. He is a mighty God. He can do things that none of us are able to do. He's also the everlasting Father," as in his presence is like a father to the children. He provides care and protection for his people. "He is also the Prince of Peace." Peace is something that I feel like a lot of the world needs right now. And it goes on to say, "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." There's no end to his government. There's no end to his peace. "And he's going to establish his kingdom and uphold it with justice." With justice. A lot of people are crying out for justice and with righteousness. "From this time forth, and forevermore." And so on the one hand, on the Bible, there's justice, there's peace, there's righteousness, there's government, and there is Jesus as a father. And on the other, there's injustice. There is tension, there's struggling, There is pain. There are people dying. And a lot of times, to be honest, I don't know how to reconcile that. I don't know how to reconcile that. But one way that has been helpful for me is to spend time in praise and prayer, as we're going to do in just a second. In praise and prayer, we're able to bring this tension before God. Jesus, we know that you're already reigning. You're already a king. But the things are not yet resolved. So Jesus, we come before you and we ask that you help us to see what your plan is. We ask that your rule and your kingdom be fully and completely here on earth. And so as we enter into praise and worship, I'm going to invite you to stand right now. Let's spend some time to pray, to set our hearts before God in this tension. Let's pray together. Jesus, in the midst of what's going on in the world, we have to admit that we don't know what the solution is. We have to admit that we can't reconcile these tensions. And in fact, Jesus, you've taught us that this would be the case. You've taught us that in the end times, kingdoms will rise against kingdoms, nations will rise against nations. There will be wars and famines, and you have predicted all this already. And so Jesus, as we come before you today, would you help us to gain maybe a perspective of what you see in the world? And help us to grow in faith and continue to believe who you says you are. Jesus, we want to believe that you are the wonderful counselor. We want to believe that all of these things that's happening in the world, you have a wise plan to resolve these things. Jesus, we want to believe that you are the mighty God. Indeed, you can do all things. And Jesus, we want to believe that you are the everlasting Father, that in fact, even right now, you are extending your care and your presence to those in need. We want to believe that. And Jesus, we certainly want to believe that you're the Prince of Peace. You're going to rule with peace. And your promise of peace is real. And so Jesus, help us to believe in all these as we enter into praise and worship. Grow our faith and let us continue to hold fast even in the midst of difficult and tension times. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are the only King forever, forevermore. King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious, you are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious, you are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious, you are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
Above all other names. wide away. The whole world bows under your name. We'll reign with you for all our days. Jesus, Jesus, the name above all other names. Jesus, Jesus, forever we will sing your praise. Jesus, Jesus, the name above all.
Jesus, we praise you as King. We desire to follow your rule and reign. But we know that sometimes following you is difficult. There are challenges and temptations and trials. Jesus, would you help us? Would you give us the power and strength to follow you?
In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soul I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your covenant. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me a result. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine.
Testing any tough choices in following you. Jesus, we ask that you increase our perseverance and steadfastness, that we may be complete and perfect and continue to follow you. Amen. Church, please be seated.
Do you still remember the first key that you received? For some, it might be the home key when you were in grade 6, when your parents hand you the home key so you can walk home by yourself after school. Or perhaps it was the family car key when you were old enough, maybe in college years, when your parents know that you are old enough and mature enough to handle the car. As for me, my first key was a little bit different. It was neither a home key or a car key, but actually the key of a dresser. You might wonder, why a dresser key? So let me tell you the story of my first key. It was a story between me and my brother, who is 4 years younger than me. It happens when I was around grade 1, so he was around 2 years old, the terrible two. One time when we were playing, my brother took one of my favorite toys. I think it was one of those Japanese superhero. He took it, he played with it, and the next second, he broke it. When I noticed what had happened, first, I was upset. Then I felt angry. And then very soon, the anger turned into rage. And then an idea came to my mind. And guess what I did? Out of anger, I took a sharp pencil from my favorite pencil case, and I poked my brother's feet with that weapon. Not just one time, not just twice, but 4 to 5 times. And of course, there was bleeding, there was crying, and very soon my parents find out what happened. And without delay, I filed my complaint about what had happened about my toy. And too bad, my brother, which was only 2, he was too young to file his complaint. He was just keep on crying. If you were my parents in this situation, what would you do? Instead of punishing the 2-year-old, I think we all will first deal with me, the 6-year-old, right? Those aggressive behavior or the hatred. And there should be some consequences about the way that me treating my baby brother. Correct, right? But yes, there's a but. If my memory is correct, I cannot recall actually if my retaliation were ever dealt with. And this is what I remember. The next day, my parents bought me something. It was a dresser. Well, it doesn't look exactly like this, but it was close. It was not just a normal dresser. It was a dresser with a locking drawer at the top. It was a dresser for me to put my toys to secure it. After I store all my toys in the dresser, I was given a key. First, I didn't know how to do it, so my parents showed me how to operate. So eventually, this became my first real key in life. Then, after that, I hide my key, of course. I don't want to let my baby brother know where is the key. After that, I was no longer angry. My parents was happy, and the case closed. If you were my parents, what would you think about this situation? Would you do the same? Will you buy me the dresser? Or will you do more to deal with my aggressive behavior and my anger? As parents, I'm sure many of us has been dealing with the anger, the rage, and even the hatred of our kids before, right? As loving parents, I'm sure we all want to do our best, give our best to our kids. When our kids are in trouble, we'll go the extra mile and find the best solution to solve the problem. When our kids are involved in some kind of fight with another friend, perhaps the first thing was not to find out who is right and wrong, but first to protect and defend our kids. Or in order to get even, we would take matters into our own hands and by going to authority to seek fairness and justice. Or in my case, some parents may try to solve the problem by pleasing the angry child. As parents, I'm sure we all agree that there's nothing wrong to help our kids, right? When they're in trouble, we're supposed to help them. But my question this morning for all of us today is, when are we willing to give our kids a chance to deal with their own emotion on their own? When will we be letting our kids to handle their own anger, their rage on their own? If we always try solving problems for them, when will they learn how to manage and do problem solving on their own? Well, okay, maybe you will say, hey, I'm not those helicopter parents. I can do much better. But when we talk about anger management, from where would you seek help? I'm sure the first stop we all will go for is the Google. You might search for anger management for teens. And once you start searching, I'm sure you'll find tons of good resources, like from Psychology Today to Mayo Clinic to TED Talks and other websites about youth mental health. While many of these are helpful, have you ever wondered, does the Bible have anything to say about handling anger, rage, and hatred? Does the Bible only stop at telling us to be loving God, loving people, and be a nice guy? Is there anything unique from our Christian teaching that helps us to manage our anger? Or does the Bible have anything more specific so we can help our kids to handle their rage and their anger? Last Sunday, Brother Haynes gave us a good start on this series called Raising Overcomers, especially on how to help our kids to handle failures in their life. And today, let's build on what we have learned about this topic and explore how the Bible is teaching us about becoming an overcomer when you're overwhelmed by rage, by anger, and by hatred, and how we can equip our kids to become real overcomers who are not controlled by their own rage. When I think of handling rage and hatred, I thought of one American man in the history called Martin Luther King Jr. One of his many famous quotes says, "Jesus knew that the old eye for an eye philosophy will leave everyone blind. He did not seek to overcome evil with evil. He overcame evil with good." In a world full of injustice and hatred, MLK pointed people to Jesus. And actually, the last part of this quote is taken from the Bible. Instead of overcoming evil with evil, we are called to overcome evil with good. So let's open the Bible to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verse 17 to 21. "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thoughts to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if the enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. At the end of this chapter 12 in the book of Romans, Paul was trying to answer one question. For Christians living in an imperfect world, when evil is a reality, how should we respond and how should we live in this reality? And facing all the injustice by our own human nature, most of us would let our thoughts and action be reflexes to what people say and people do to us, right? When we turn from anger to rage to hatred, our natural reaction would be to fight back. We would repay evil for evil, or we would take revenge. But when we repay and take revenge, Paul tells us that the problem is not solved. There's a further consequence. It is not just about human emotion. It is not just about mental health. We are actually copying evil. If he hates someone back, evil is getting victory and evil is overcoming us. So here, Paul helps us to see a much bigger picture. When you are being offended and when all your energy is spent to deal with the person who hurt you, between you and that person, behind all the actions and all the emotion, there's actually something more. If we repay evil with evil, we might end up taking matters into our own hands, which might result in more violence and more injustice. And even innocent people might get hurt. And when we became a participant of this situation, we might involve also in the acts of evil. So here, Paul pointed out that the natural way is not the only way. We do not have to be overcome like that. If we repay evil for evil, or if we try to take revenge, there's only one result. We end up only being overcome by evil. For Paul, this is not the solution. It is just a dead end. If you let a person's sin govern your own emotion, you are being overcome by evil. So let me highlight once again three crucial reminders at this passage from Paul to the church at Rome. Do not repay evil for evil, verse 17. Do not avenge yourself, verse 19. And then verse 21, do not be overcome by evil. So these are three crucial reminders that Paul gave to the church. And imagine you are one of those Christians in Rome. When you received the letter, when you heard about Paul's teaching, you probably couldn't believe your ears. When you read the line, do not repay evil for evil, you might wonder, remember you were in the first century, right? What? I thought repaying evil for evil is normal in Roman Empire. Everyone in our empire is doing something like that. Do you really mean that Christian can not do this? Or when you read the line about not taking revenge, oh, I thought taking revenge is natural. You mean we cannot do this? Yes, this is how Paul challenged the church in Rome. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not avenge yourself. Do not let any person's evil provoke you to evil deeds. Do not let your enemy hostility make you hostile. When we are angry and trying to deal with the enemy, Paul reminded us that evil is also in the picture. But Paul did not just stop there. The apostle told us there's more. Let's take a look again at 12:19 once again. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance is the Lord's. So what does this verse actually mean? At the moment when we were angry and full of rage, we want to get even. I'm sure we all do that. The idea of vengeance would cross our mind to injure or to harm the other person because they have harmed us. But at that very challenging moment, Paul reminded us, always include God in the picture. Always include God in the equation. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Paul reminded us that anger and rage is not just a personal thing. Don't miss God in this equation. Vengeance is not ours, but God's, and only belongs to God. God will have the last word, not the enemy. Remember, God will have the last word, not the enemy. So now we know that the Bible is not just like some chicken noodle soup for the soul. The Bible did not just tell us some heartwarming stories and then leave us some general principle and then tell us to be a good person or Mr. Nice Guy. The Bible recognizes that evil does exist in reality and we need to be on guard. But the Bible also stressed that God should be not forgotten in the equation. God will have the last word, not the enemy. As we are struggling with this topic, I'm sure that it's not an easy topic to grapple with. Let's not forget, Jesus actually went through all these. Jesus actually is our true example. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continue entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus went through those dark moments. On the very first Good Friday, when the people brought insult at Jesus, he did not retaliate. Jesus overcame the evil of our sin with the good of his death and resurrection. He overcame evil by doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Jesus overcame evil with good. So, when we are angry, when we are in rage or in hatred, let us remember Jesus is our leader. He is our Lord. He dictates our thoughts and action. He governs our life, not those who do evil. And he is the dominant reality in our life, not other persons' saying or opinions. So based on what Jesus has done, we and you do have a choice. You do not have to be overcome that way. Instead, we can overcome evil with good. We can become an overcomer. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. So as parents, I'm sure nobody wants our child to be overcome by evil. All of us want our kids to be in the winning team, to become overcomers, overcoming evil with good. And Jesus has given us an example, overcome evil with good. When we are faced with injustice, there's actually a right and a wrong way to respond. Naturally, we would get angry and get back that person who hurt us. But on the other hand, we can fight the way God fights, trusting Him to be the ultimate judge. So we do have a choice to choose to do what is right, no matter how we feel. Instead of letting someone else sin governing our emotion, instead of allowing another person's evil make us evil, instead of letting another person's evil provoke you to evil thoughts and action, instead of becoming overcome by evil, we do have a choice to let our love triumph over the enemy by not returning evil with evil, by not avenging yourself, by overcoming evil with good, by becoming the overcomer. So parents, I know this is not an easy Sunday message to go through. It would be even more challenging for our kids, I understand. But by God's grace, instead of relying only on other secular resources, let's really impart God's truth to our next generation. Maybe our kids are still young, but sooner or later, your kids will find out that the world is not perfect. Sometimes people are mean. Are we preparing them to respond? And if we are as mean as those people as they are to us, that seems that sometimes maybe you find that it's fair, but that doesn't mean that it is good. Unkindness only leads to more unkindness. So when we overcome evil with good, we can break that cycle of anger and hatred. Our battle is not against the mean people, it's against Satan and the spiritual forces of evil. And the only way to win is not to play their game. Every time we show love to someone who is mean to you, you're actually winning a victory for Jesus. And when we show love and kindness to those who have been unkind to you, God wins. And we are on God's team, so we win too. So do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil to good. And before we conclude this message, let me share with you three tough questions. It might not be easy. Three tough questions you can go through with your child when anger and rage came. First tough question, number one, how can we pray? At the eye of the storm, we can ask the child, how can Daddy and I pray together at this very moment? In the eye of the storm, perhaps no one has the perfect solution yet, but that's okay. At that moment, we can talk to our kids. Son, I know that is not an easy moment for you and for us as well, but let us remember, God is still out there. Our dear Heavenly Father is not just a loving God. He is also a God of justice. God is a God who judges people, and He promised that He will repay someday. So son, let's have faith in God. Remember what Jesus did. People shouted at Him and made fun of Him, but He didn't do the same back to them. Jesus prayed for people who persecuted Him. So we can encourage our child to learn to do the same by praying for people that we are mad at. And this is maybe something that we can pray together. God, it still hurts and I'm still mad. But Lord, I know my anger won't solve the problem. So God, please help me to put my trust in You. I know that You are the judge and You will help us. So let's remember that we can pray with our kids. The second question, tough question, that you can go through with your kids is, how can we bless? Just as what Paul taught earlier in that chapter, bless those who hurt you, bless them, and do not curse them. When others say or do unkind things to you, you have a choice. Instead of cursing that person, instead of saying mean things back, son, let's think of a blessing creatively that we can say. Let's think of some kind and friendly word you can say. And by doing so, we can let our child know that when we bless, we actually join Jesus and practice overcoming evil. And this is the way of winning the battle against the enemy. Tough question Number three, what can we do? I know each question is getting more challenging, but let's take a look at this. The third question we can ask when we debrief or when we go through the situation with our kids. What can we do? In Romans 12, Paul did not stop at just comforting the church. He also challenged them to put thoughts into action. As we just read, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink, right? So when we are going through the process with our child, let's think together, kid. Let's think of some good things that we can do, perhaps to that person who get mad at you, or maybe if we are not ready, let's think of doing something good to maybe another person so that we can channel our negative thoughts and energy to something more positive. So this is the third tough question. At the start of today's message, I share a story, a childhood story about my first key. And at the end of the message, I will share with you another family story. And this time, it's about our family praying in the parking lot in California. Two summers ago, we had a family road trip to California. And due to some last-minute change, we need to cut short our trip for one day. So on our first day, we needed to drive 12 full hours from Vancouver all the way to Redding, California. It was a long day and we did not reach Redding until midnight. And on the next day, which was Sunday, we were still tired, you can imagine. And all through that Sunday morning, as we were preparing to go to church, I was being irritated by many small things, including a long wait in the restaurant for breakfast. Just as we were driving to Bethel Church for Sunday, I finally exploded with anger. It was supposed to be a fun family trip, and we were just minutes away from the Bethel Church, which was supposed to be the highlight of our trip. At that moment, I told Shirley and my three kids, I don't think we can go worship like this. So we found a parking lot at a shopping mall. We parked the car, and then we had a timeout session. I shared my frustration, I confessed my rage, and we spent time praying for each other, praying for the trip, and also praying for God's forgiveness. As I look back, even though we missed that opportunity to worship at Bethel Church that morning, our family, especially myself, learned something very significant right at the parking lot that morning. Don't let anger rob you of joy. Be always alert and on guard. And don't let anger rob your family of joy. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for teaching us this morning about becoming an overcomer. Lord, we need your protection from being overcome by evil. Lord, grant us the strength to do what you have teach us today, to overcome evil with good. Lord, we know that it is not an easy instruction, but help us. Help us to remember that you are the ultimate judge. Dear Jesus, in this morning, we declare that you are the Lord of all. You are the Lord of our family. You are the Lord of our children. Even though we are in the eyes of the storm, even though the seas are raging, in you, Jesus, we will find trust. In you, Jesus, we will find rest, because we know that you are in control. Amen. Though the seas are raging, in Jesus we will find rest because Jesus is in control. Yes, Jesus is in control. Let's continue our worship by gathering around the table and celebrate the communion. This communion is open to all who have received Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, He took bread, gave thanks, He broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." of me. In the same way, he took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So let's partake the cup and the bread together. As we conclude our worship this morning, let me encourage you to participate and support the Koinonia ministry through offering. You can complete the online offering at our church website, english.mykc.ca. So now let's stand for benediction. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory, with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. So let concludes our Sunday worship this morning. Go in peace, and we'll see you next Sunday.